morning, and welcome to the Redeemer's Refuge radio broadcast, brought to you by Redeemer Lutheran Church, One Deerwalk Lane in Charleston, a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Redeemer Lutheran Church, help, hope, and home in the body of Christ. The psalmist writes, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Psalm 46:1. This speaks to the hope God gives us amid the struggles of life. When life storms blow around us, our Redeemer, Jesus, gives refuge in the mighty fortress of our God. We pray this broadcast will remind you of that beautiful truth today.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you have justified us through the blood shed by our Savior. We thank you for declaring us righteous in your sight by this gift of grace. We ask that you give to us an ever-growing and stronger faith that holds on to Jesus to silence the law's accusations. Lead us to boast not in ourselves, but only in the gospel, the good news of your rich blessings given to us because of Jesus. We pray this in your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for you live and reign as the one true God, now and forever. Amen. Our epistle reading for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and for the October celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, is from Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. When you read through the Bible, you find that God's law has three major ways to be used. One use is to help curb evil and chaos in the world. Laws are put in place to keep people safe and allow for life to go on with a sense of order and justice. A stop sign keeps cars from crashing into each other, and you usually know what to expect as you are driving. Another purpose of God's law is to help believers know what is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. It tells us what is the right thing to do in His eyes. One of the commandments is, "Do not steal." So we know that if something is not ours, we don't try to get it anyway. Instead, God wants us to help our neighbor keep what is his and be honest in all financial matters. The law curbs evil behavior in society and guides Christians in the ways to obey God. But the most significant purpose of the law is to show us our sins. In our epistle reading, we hear, "Through the law comes knowledge of sin." Again, God's law reveals how badly we've messed up in God's eyes. It accuses us of doing what is wrong and convicts us when we fail to do what is right. Later in this letter to the Romans, St. Paul bears his soul to the church. He tells his readers that because of the law, he knows what sin is and how it wreaks havoc in his own life. In Romans chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, he says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Now, if the great apostle Paul says that, we're in the same boat as he is. Yes, the law shows us just how sinful we really are. The law tells us we don't make the grade. Again, the seventh commandment, we are not to steal. Now, most of us have not broken into someone's house and taken all the computers and big screen TVs. We haven't stolen a large sum of money from a store or bank. But that doesn't mean we haven't broken this commandment. You see, it's not just the really bad things that count as sin. It's also in the little things. It's all too easy for ordinary believers like you and me to break this commandment way too often. We steal time and productivity from our employers when we are being lazy or sloppy workers. Guilty as charged. Now, I peek at Facebook in the middle of the day, and several links and online articles later, 20 or so minutes have gone by. I should have been doing work. How much time is lost at work surfing the net or playing Candy Crush? Another way we steal is by not being generous toward others who are in need. We can find the money to buy stuff for ourselves. Credit card bills add up when we keep spending on this gadget or going out to eat or buying another pair of shoes or some other bauble. Then when opportunity comes to give someone else, as our Lord wants us to, the money just is not there to help. How many resources do we waste? How much food do we throw away out of the refrigerator or leave on our plate? Or how much more food you've eaten than you really need? Or how much garbage you put at the curb? Wasting natural resources is another way of stealing, as we fail to practice good stewardship of God's gifts of creation. Now, we could do this kind of list for every commandment, big sins, little ones, in between. They all add up. The law shows us our sins. As Romans chapter 3 says, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The law simply accuses us of falling short, way short, of God's glory, of what God expects of us. The law tells us we don't make the grade. Now for the final nail in the coffin. Paul in chapter 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, physical death, eternal death, separation from God forever, the horrifying future of hell and all its torment. God is angry at sin, and he punishes it with a sentence of death." But God doesn't leave it there, as the Bible shows another message that surpasses the law's accusations. God is not only about justice and law. He is also a God of love and grace. This message is the gospel. The gospel shows us Jesus. Now listen to the second half of those Bible verses. "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." Or in chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Life and death, law and gospel. The law shows us our sin and death. The gospel shows us God's grace and life in Jesus. Now, one word was used that we don't really hear much anymore. The word was propitiation. Looking up that word shows that it can refer to how something turns God's anger away from us. It gets at how God's wrath is appeased. It also has the sense of sin being obliterated. Sin is somehow taken away, and with it, the punishment of death is removed. The third way it is used is when it stands for the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat was above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the temple. The Holy of Holies was the one place where no one went in the temple back then. It was sealed off from everyone except the high priest. He would enter that holiest of spaces just once a year on the Day of Atonement. He would carry in some blood of the sacrifices and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And by this blood, the sins of the people would be forgiven because of God's mercy and grace. Put them all together. Sin and punishment need to be obliterated in our lives. God's anger needs to be turned away from us. We need blood shed on a mercy seat for us. And when you look at the cross, you see propitiation happen. Jesus' blood is shed for us. He turns God's anger away from us. The punishment of our sin is placed on Jesus, and so it is obliterated at His resurrection on Easter morning. We are now justified by God's grace because of Jesus, His blood shed for us. The gospel gives us God's grace. Yes, Jesus turns a failing grade into grace. He turns God's anger away from us. He obliterates sin's punishment. So you know what we need to do with this gospel message? I like how Martin Luther's wife, Katie, put it just before she died. Her last words were reported to be, "I will stick to Christ as a burr to a topcoat." The gospel shows me Jesus, and I will stick with Him. Yes, we need to stick with Jesus. Amen. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of creation, whose glory is around and within us, open our eyes to your wonders, that we may serve you with reverence and know your peace at our lives' end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for giving us a brief moment of your day. Our prayer and hope is that the message of the good news of Jesus the Christ will have a positive impact for you as we at Redeemer Lutheran Church endeavor to be help, hope, and home in the body of Christ for all whom we meet. We invite you to come and receive the Lord's blessing through word and sacrament as we gather on Sunday mornings at 10:45 for our worship service. Mark your calendars for our celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, our Reformation Fest, on October 21st, starting at 9 a.m. with a charity disc golf tournament, continuing with free food and beverages and a Reformation walk at 11 a.m., and finally at 3:30 and 5:30 p.m., a screening of the film Martin Luther, The Idea That Changed the World. We're located at 1 Deer Walk Lane, just off the Paula Road exit of Corridor G. You can find us on the web at RedeemerWV.org and on Facebook at Facebook.com/RedeemerLutheranChurchWV. Thank you, and may God bless your day.